Good morning, everyone. This month's sermon series is called Christian Atheist. What is a Christian Atheist? For the past 2 weeks, we mentioned a Christian Atheist is someone who believes in God but pursues happiness at all cost. Christian Atheist is also someone who believes in God but continues to indulge in sin. Today, we'll be talking about the third kind of Christian atheist. This kind of Christian atheist claims that they believe in God, but they don't believe in the church. Do you know anyone who is like that? Do you know any Christians who do not go to church at all because they don't believe in the church? I do. I remember there was one brother in Christ who was a very devoted Christian. He attended church every Sunday. He joined services, small groups, and Sunday schools. He joined different Christian events enthusiastically. He was one of the deacons in the later days of his church life. One day, however, he decided that he won't go to church anymore. What happened? Turns out he had conflicts with the deacon board and the pastors. He was disgusted by how some of the leaders handled the people's spiritual lives. He was angry with how some leaders backstabbed him. He was disappointed by how some of the leaders pretended to be godly in front of the others, but acted dishonestly when they worked with him. At last, he was so hurt and angry that he chose to leave the church and never return. I also remember a sister in Christ that I knew. She was a very devoted Christian. After joining the church for a short while, she already was deeply involved in the church. She joined the services regularly. She participated in small groups and Sunday schools. She was always found in Bible conferences happening over the year. She became a trusted servant leader. One day, however, she too decided to leave the church. What happened? Turns out she made a mistake in life, and when other Christians in church knew about it, some started gossiping behind their backs. Some accused her rudely for violating the Bible teaching. She felt angry, unaccepted, unforgiven, and hurt. She left the church at last and never returned. There might be other reasons why people choose not to go to church. For example, they may believe that as long as they believe in God, going to church is not necessary. But whatever the reason, being hurt by people in the church is one of the major reasons. Just like the brother and sister I mentioned, some Christians were once hurt by the others. They feel angry, disappointed, bitter, and cynical about the church. They're fed up with those hypocrites who likes to pretend they are holier than others. They just want to distance themselves from them. They feel that there's no reason they need these unworthy people, and they don't want to be any part of them. Why can't we just leave the church? Why do we have to go to church when it is filled with people who are so unworthy of the gospel of Jesus? Let us now turn our eyes to Ephesians chapter 5 and see how this passage may shed some light to our question. In Ephesians 5:22-24, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. In Ephesians 5, 23, it clearly tells us that husband, being the head of his wife, and the wife being the body of her husband, are actually modeled according to Jesus Christ being the head of the church and the church being the body of Christ. What does this mean? According to Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, it seemed that the husbands and the wives there did not know what it means to be a Christian in their marriage. Therefore, Paul taught them how to love each other in their marriage by bringing them back to the relations between Jesus and the church. In Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." Jesus so loved the church that he gave himself up for her. He died for it so that it could become holy and blameless. Has it ever occurred to you that Jesus loved the church that much that he gave himself up for it? When we think of a church, would you just think of a specific building where Christians go to on Sundays? Why would Jesus love a building? Or is church really a building? No. What is a church? The church is us. Every one of us. Every one of us who were sinners. When we look back into the gospel, we know that Jesus didn't give up his life for a building nor a place. He died on the cross for us sinners, and so as to allow us to join his body, aka the church. The church is not made up of concretes, but living people. He died for people. He died for sinners. He died for us. So coming back to the question we asked earlier on, why do we have to go to church when it is filled with people who are so unworthy of the gospel? Because they are not the only ones who are unworthy. We were all unworthy too. We were all sinners. We were all deemed worthy of the gospel only because Jesus Christ chose to be our Savior. Jesus died on the cross for all sinners for one reason, which is to present us without stain or wrinkles or any form of blemish. We become holy and blameless because of his sacrificial act. To repeat, all of us were unworthy before, but now deemed worthy to be part of the church because Jesus Christ loves us and saves us. What does all of this mean to us then? In Ephesians 5:29-30 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." As we believed in the gospel, we become a member of the body of Christ. We are all interconnected. If we are all interconnected, how can we say we don't want to be any part of someone else in the church. Besides, we were deemed worthy only because Jesus loves his body, which is us, in the first place. This means no one is worthier than anyone else. What reasons, then, do we have to look at others with contempt? Did Jesus look at us with contempt? If he did, none of us would have been saved from the chains of death. Rather, Jesus chose to save us from it. Our sins are forgiven because of him. We are saved by God through our faith in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, what is the greatest commandment that Jesus has taught us? It is to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another. Jesus lived it out, so shall we not do the same? All being said, it should now be clear that we cannot cut ourselves off from anyone else. As long as we are Christians, we are always a part of the others' lives in the body of Christ. Unless we are mindful of this, we will just think that church is a place we go on Sundays and it isn't that important. It is not a place. It is a community of Christians who make up the body of Christ. Acknowledging that our head is Jesus Christ, the church should be following the head's lead. Acknowledging that we are all interconnected as Christians in his body, we should love the church, who is our fellow brothers and sisters. We love the church because Jesus loves the church. When we say we believe in Jesus, it would mean that we believe in and follow what he does. Since he nourishes and cherishes his body, shall we not also cherish and nourish the church that he loves? Don't be a Christian atheist. Don't believe in the lie that we can believe in Jesus but cut ourselves off from the church. Don't deny what Jesus loves and cherishes. Being a member of the body of Christ means that we cannot ignore other members. We become connected once we have joined his body. We should then learn to love others as Jesus loved us. That means not looking at others with contempt, but to forgive, love, and accept people in church that are sometimes annoying, sometimes mean, sometimes disturbing, and sometimes just terrible, just like how we are sometimes. It is not easy to forgive and accept someone again after they have hurt you or annoyed you. I had that experience before too. I recall there was one time I attended an overnight Bible conference. I felt God speaking to me through the pastor's preaching. At that time, there was one brother in church I don't really like, because I felt that he was always making decisions on his own. He expected others to follow his ideas only, as if he was the only one who knew what was right or wrong. He has done that to me too, and I felt annoyed by his attitude. I was afraid to work with him. But after the sermon, I felt very struggled, as God seemed to be urging me to reconcile with him. But I don't really want him to know how I think of him, nor do I really want to reconcile with him. I just didn't want to talk to him about it.
Coincidentally, he was at the conference too. And we stayed in the same dorm with six other brothers. That very night, as he went into the shared washroom, I knew it was the time. So I went in, I pretended to wash my hands in the sink next to his, and just started chatting with him. I didn't know what to say or how to say it. So I just honestly told him the truth, that God urged me to reconcile with him and explained everything in the most polite way. At last, he actually responded positively and he thanked me for my honesty. We hugged it out and I felt very relieved afterwards. I realized it was actually quite tiring to dislike someone for so long. Later on, we actually talked more with each other, and I got to know him more and understood why he did things the way he did. After that, I never had the same kind of irritation against him anymore. I thank God for this reconciliation. To be honest, I still have other people I need to reconcile with. I'm still learning too. Therefore, I'm not just encouraging you to do so, but I'm encouraging all of us, including myself. If we feel like we can't do it, pray to God. Ask Him to grant us His grace and love to overcome that barrier. Ask God to remind us again and again how Jesus Christ demonstrated the unconditional love through his death and resurrection. Ask God to give us the capacity to care for such unworthy people as Jesus cared for us, who should not have been worthy in his eyes neither. Let us also reflect on our own actions and behaviors. Had we ever hurt or annoyed people the same way others had annoyed or hurt us? Ask ourselves if we also have hurt others in the body of Christ. Today, I would like to invite you to a challenge. In this coming week, try to think of a person that has hurt you before or annoys you in church. Pray about it to God. If you have the courage given by God, approach the person and talk to him or her about it. Of course, remember not to be blunt in your tone. Show sincerity and kindness. Remember, we are not trying to number the annoying things they did. We're trying to reconcile with them out of love of Jesus. If you are very unsure on how to put it, you're always welcome to consult the leaders and pastors here. After you have reconciled, I encourage you to pray together for each other. Brothers and sisters, reconcile. We are members of the same body, which our head is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves us by dying for us when we were still sinners. He saved us from the chains of death. If He has never given up on us, we should not give up on Him, nor the church too. Now I would like to invite all of us to close our eyes. Let us first remind ourselves how Jesus died for all our sins and resurrected 3 days later. Let us praise Him and thank Him now in our prayers. Now, think of a person or people who had hurt you or annoyed you before in church. How do you feel now? Tell God about your feelings and ask Him to comfort you with His love. Pray to God and ask for courage to face this person again. You can pray for courage to forgive and reconcile with him or her. You can pray for more capacity to love this brother or sister. Finally, think about ourselves. Have we ever hurt or annoyed others in the church? If so, ask God for forgiveness and pray that we will be reminded not to repeat the same mistakes again through the reminders of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Ask Him to humble us, teach us how to love tenderly. Let us close in prayer. Our King and Savior, Lord Jesus, we praise you for your love and kindness. We thank you for your sacrifice to save us all. We were sinners, but we are now allowed to call ourselves the children of God because of you. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us, for we have hurt others in your body. Help us also to forgive those who have hurt us before. We ask you to grant us grace and love so that we will learn to love the church as you love it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's so great to be reminded that church is not just program. Church is not just a place. Church is people, and Dick's message reminded us exactly that. Church is a community of people. Church is not what's happening now. Church is not me talking. Church is not when you watch a YouTube online. Church is not when you sing worship songs in the car. Church is the community of people. So I just have two things that I want to remind you again. The first thing is, I already said it before the sermon, is if you are free after the service and you're not in a rush to go somewhere, I encourage you to reach out to the people. Reach out to the church. Build the church. You know, start establishing those connections with the church. And if you imagine that to be the body, then start establishing those connections within the body. That's the first thing I'd encourage you. And the second thing I'd encourage you, we have church pretty much every weekday at night at office. because we have small group. We have small group. If you're here and you don't know what small group is, you don't know what Oikos, which is our small group, is, I encourage you to talk to some of us and find out, because we have church, not just on Sunday morning, but we have church every single weekday when we gather. And small group is the perfect place to be, to build that community, to learn to love people that you sometimes might annoy you a little bit, to learn to love people, to learn to reconcile to people, to learn to share with one another, to learn to support and pray with one another. So if this is your first couple of times here and you're not yet in a small group, I strongly encourage you to take a look. You know, talk to me, talk to Pastor Wilbur, talk to any of our staffs, and we can give you more information. Small group is a very crucial part of a person's spiritual life. And just so you know, if you ever wonder what small group does, most of the time, you know, we have some sharing, we have some discussion on perhaps maybe some scripture or some materials that we have prepared, and the small group leaders have prepared, and then we pray and then we share with one another. That's basically all that we do in small group. But through those couple hours every single week, we are able to build up the church like that. So if you're not yet in a small group, strongly encourage you to take a look. You can also go to our website, mykac.ca, if you would prefer to look up on it on your own. So would you please stand and receive the benediction from God? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the word of God. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it.